Canto 6. The game of chance breaks up. The loser stays behind and grieves. He thinks about his throws over and over. In his mind, he plays again, sad lesson learned. The winner goes, and all the rest go with him, one in front. Another grabs him from behind. One more is by his side, a lapdog at the hunt, whining, "Remember me?" He can't ignore them all. But he does not stop moving while he listens first to this one and then that, and gives each one his hand and a small smile so they will fall back satisfied, and at the right point he is set free from the throng. He saves himself. So in that crowd was I. I turned my face to them, first here, then there, and by my promises got free. To die by violence had been the fate to share between these. I could see the Aretine, a judge that fierce Gino di Tacco killed in open court. The next had fled the scene from Campaldino, and his lungs had filled with water. And there begged with outstretched hands Federico, a novello, beaten dead in battle. That slain youth from Pisan lands, whose father, good Marzucco, was instead of plotting his revenge, moved to forgive the murderers. Count Orso I saw too, whose cousin worked it so he should not live, and that soul severed, if the tale is true, by spite and envy from its body, not by that crime he was hanged for. Yes, Pierre de la Brosse. May she not say she forgot that story when she's here and find it fair, the Lady of Brabant, that no worse lot than being sent to this flock is her fate. As soon as I was free of them, whose one and only prayer, while they were forced to wait, was for the prayers of others, thus to run sooner to holiness, I said, "To me, it seems, my light, you took pains to deny, through Palinurus, a divine decree is ever bent by prayer. And that was why he never reached the kingdom of the dead. Yet these here pray for prayer alone. Will they, too, pray in vain? Or are those words you said something I didn't take in the right way?" "My writing's plain," he told me, "and the hope of these souls is well founded. You just think, with sound mind now, as we ascend. The slope ends at the height of justice. Will it sink simply because the fire of love supplies in one quick flash what each soul here is owed in satisfaction? What I wrote implies a prayer was bound to fail that had no road to God. But such a question is too deep for you to take a stand on, without first hearing from her who in the full great sweep of light from mind to faith is so well versed. I speak of Beatrice. Did I puzzle you? Above us, on the mountain's lofty peak, her smile and ecstasy will fill your view. My lord," I said as soon as I could speak, "can we go faster? I'm less weary now, and see the mountain casts a shadow." "We'll go on with this day's march," he said, "as much as liked permits. And yet be sure what's real is far from what you think. Before you touch the peak above, you'll see that one return who now lies hidden in behind the hill, so you don't break his beam. But look and learn. See there a soul who sits alone, and will, he looks towards us, point the quickest route." We came to him. "Ah, Lombard shade, how high and mighty was your poise, how absolute the dignity behind the steely eye of your regard." He said no word to us. He would have let us pass. He only gazed, a crouching lion. Nothing to discuss. But Virgil went right up to him and raised the question of the best ascent. He gave no answer, but inquired of our birthplace and our condition. "Mantua," my grave but gentle guide began. The shade, a case till then of total self-involvement, leapt towards him, saying, "Mantua, behold, Sordello of your city!" And each swept the other close as eager arms could fold. "Slave, Italy. Hostel of grief. Lost ship without a pilot in a storm. No more princess of peoples, but a swarming tip. A brothel. Think of what you were before and could have been again. This noble soul was so keen just for his dear city's name to greet its citizen, and now your whole country is never free from sword and flame, and all the living are shut in with wall and moat, and each enclosure does the same, chews at the others. Wretched one, search all your seashores, then look deep within your breast, and see if any part rejoice in peace. What boots it that Justinian gave you the reins of law to guide your choice? The saddle's empty, the horse riderless, left to itself. If there had never been a law, there had been less shame to confess. But you know what restraint was meant to mean, so your excess is strictly recklessness. Your clergy, who were pledged to be devout, and should, if you paid God's instructions heed, let Caesar ride the horse, the truth is out. From lack of guidance by his spurs, the steed turned vicious for its bridle in your hand can only lead astray. Ah, Emperor, Albert of Saxony, who saw our land not even once, and who abandoned her to be what she's become, savage and wild. You that should now bestride her saddle bow, let starry judgment fall on man and child. Let your successor fear forthcoming woe. You and your father Rudolf, both held back by greed, have let your empire's garden go to pieces, desolation, ruin, rack. Come see the Montagues and Capulets, Monaldi, Filippeschi families ranged against each other, those that grace forgets, wretched in dread because you were estranged, having no care. Come, cruel one, come and see your nobles in distress and soothe their pain. You'll see the level of security in Santa Fiora, where Siena's gain means loss of land for all those Ghibellines. Come see your Rome, that widowed and alone weeps night and day. Caesar, my lord, it keens, why aren't you here with me? Come see your own, your people, how they love each other. Or, if our plight fails to move your pity, come for shame of your repute. If it be law for me, Supreme Jehovah, you, the sum of all good, who were crucified on earth for us, to question you, are your just eyes turned elsewhere? Or do you arrange the birth in the chasm of your counsel for some guise of good we are unable to perceive? For all our cities here in Italy are full of tyrants. Even clowns believe that playing partisan means they must be Marcellus, dreaming he made Caesar grieve by talk against the empire. You may well, my Florence, take your ease at this digression, which has little truth to tell about you, for your people never miss a trick in their resource. Others, at heart, have justice, but that arrow leaves the bow too slowly. For the thought must play its part of what the heart means. But your people know law only at the tongue's tip. Others avoid the weight of office, but your people cry, unasked, their eagerness to be employed. I'll bear the burden. A good reason why you should be happy, for your cause is good. So rich and so at peace, and oh, so wise. I speak a truth borne out by facts. Nor could Athens and Sparta, chosen to devise the ancient laws and thus be civil, give one hint beside you of the proper way, my Florence, that a city ought to live. You make provisions so fine every day. The threads you spin in one month do not last to the middle of the next. Can you recall how often you've changed in your checkered past, your laws, your money, offices, and all your customs, and thrown out your active men or brought them back according to which crew is in control of cleaning up the den? And if you see yourself unblinking, you see a sick woman who turns seeking rest on a bed of down, but is no less distressed.